This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, we got phone calls. We got ticket text. Shedeur Sanders, the free fall to the fifth round. People trying to figure out how, why, what went wrong. We'll get to the Lions as the hour rolls on, but this became a story over the weekend. And the obvious answer, it wasn't that good, and teams were concerned about his attitude. If you don't have a first-round grade on a guy because he doesn't have any elite traits, and then you're worried about entitlement and attitude, you're going to bump that guy down your board. Fifth round may feel extreme to you, and people started looking. Conspiracies. What's going on? It's because they hate Deion. That's what it is. People in the league love Deion. Deion could back up the talk. You've talked about that. You've played with Deion.
He's one of the only few that actually talked trash and backed it up throughout 99% of his career.
Meanwhile, Shedeur took a bunch of sacks, blamed his offensive line.
But hey, he got his number retired. I wonder if that was somewhat of a ploy. Well, he's got his number retired.
You got to draft him. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Isaac in Oak Park. Isaac, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
So I actually wanted to talk about the Pistons, not Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, okay.
real quick, guys, you know, the story about this series has been the officiating. It hasn't been about basketball. It's really bogged down. You know, it's been a great competitive series. It's really bogged down the entire series. I agree that there was a missed call last night in game four, but you could also point to game two, and the Knicks have a gripe there, where Josh Hart went up for a dunk to tie the game. And he got hit by Durin, and they didn't call, you know, an and one on that. So, you know, we could talk about the refs all day long. But at the end of the day, the Pistons were up 11 with 8:30 to go. They had a great opportunity to win that game, and they blew it. And I'm really, really tired of talking about the referees. And I want to talk about, you know, how great Cade has been or how his turnovers have hurt us or, you know.
Yeah, you want to talk basketball. Business. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It stems to every single sport too with this. I hate to bring it to this as well, but the Detroit versus everybody mentality, it's a very victimhood mentality and it's lame. And it really just, it bothers me because we think that everybody is against us and there's a conspiracy theory. Like Mark Ryan was saying, there's a whole conspiracy that we're cursed. And it's tiring. Tiring because we don't...
Guy's been here 5 minutes. Maybe shouldn't be going on about conspiracy theories. Let me just put that out there. Look, yeah. We've had bad breaks go against us. If you're a lifelong fan, you could cite them and we could spend an hour talking about them. I understand that. The point of your call is noted. Make the shot at the end of the game. Shot making. Yeah. They made it. We didn't. I'm sorry to get us off on the tangent. Let's get back. Shedeur phone calls. Chris in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
What's going on, Kyle? How you doing? What's going on, John?
What's up?
How's it going?
I got to talk to you, Costa, because you're grinding my gears right now, man.
Oh, no.
I done listened to you advocate plenty of times about how attitude shouldn't even never reflect on the... I remember Jalen Carter killed somebody.
Well, he didn't kill somebody, but...
And you were saying that we should draft him. It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter about his attitude, but here it is, Shedeur, with your own two eyes. You want to tell me that he was 150 picks low?
144. And Chris, hold on. There's always two components to this. One, I don't even think I was a Jalen Carter guy. We could pull the tape, but whatever. Secondary point.
Definitely pull the tape. Go ahead.
Talent is always a key part of this equation. Yeah. If you don't have the talent and I have questions about you, that's when you get to falling. That's when you take a tumble on draft boards.
So you're telling me the quarterback that the Saints took is better than Shedeur Sanders? You're telling me that Dylan Gabriel is better than Shedeur Sanders with your own two eyes? That's what you're telling me? You too, John. I'm surprised at you. With your talent evaluation, you want to tell me that he was 144 picks low.
No, what I'm telling you is you select a quarterback in the first round. I didn't think he was a first-round talent. Then in the second and third round, I need people that are going to contribute. This is the problem with the Hendon Hooker pick here in Detroit. He has yet to contribute, but you spent a third-round pick on him. If you're going to then take a backup quarterback or a quarterback that's going to take some time to develop, then you take them fourth, fifth, or sixth. But in your first three rounds, you need players that are going to contribute immediately.
I get that. But to hear Costa say that this guy was just 144 picks low,
Chris,
just blows my mind. But before I go, Costa, what's your alma mater again?
Central Michigan, Chris.
Yeah, you don't know football, Costa. Have a good day, man.
And he's going to do a little mic drop at the end there.
Well,
chips don't
I got to say,
right.
Hey, the Chips may know some football, but, I mean, if you don't have a hockey program, how do you know hockey?
See, I thought that's where he was going.
Yeah.
My school's had a player drafted number one overall in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
High school had TJ Lang.
That was beautiful.
I fought Rico about Jalen Carter. I'm pretty sure I was avoid Jalen Carter.
Oh,
and,
no,
I was
I
wrong.
Was, so there's an equation. And the equation, it's not an actual math equation, but when you are dominant, yeah, when you are really good at what you do, teams are willing to put up with more off the field, more in the locker room, more I've got to motivate you to work out, I've got to motivate you to practice. But when you get to game time, all of a sudden, you could take over a game. That's when you start to say, okay, well, you got some issues, but if you can win for us, then we're ready to rock and roll with you. I don't think anybody was looking at Shedeur Sanders. I certainly wasn't. As a guy that's going to come in and set the league on fire and be a franchise quarterback.
And when you really peeled it back and you got out of what the media mocks had told you, which was that Shedeur was a first, take a step back. Out of high school, three stars. His dad builds the offense around him and takes him to D1 with him. That same offense where they didn't run it, dropped him back a bunch. He complained about the sacks he took. He held the ball too much. Maybe he just never was that good.
Well, he just didn't win. And you could say Jackson Dart just didn't win enough. Tyler Shuck at Louisville.
But like, people see the traits with those guys. They see
bigger
arm. They see upside. With Shedeur, they go, he's like 6'1". He doesn't have a howitzer for an arm. He's going to take a bunch of sacks and blame our offensive line. Yeah, you know what? We're not going to take that guy.
Well, look who he played with, too.
Yeah, he had elite receiving options.
I mean, Travis Hunter's a freak.
Yeah.
He's one of the biggest freaks entering the NFL in years, okay? And I get a little bit of a feel back to, I had this take going into the Manziel draft, that Mike Evans made Johnny Manziel.
Sure.
It wasn't a very popular thing because Mike Evans just sat back and did his job and played the position,
yeah,
while Johnny Manziel got all the credit. And while Shedeur does not have the character flaws that Manziel had, I want to be clear about that. There may be a few flags, but nothing like the mountain that was against Manziel.
Right.
And the critics would point out Manziel went much higher, though, with those flaws.
Right, exactly. But why does Johnny Manziel get a benefit of the doubt? Or is it that the NFL is learning from past mistakes? I think he slid way too far. I thought this should have stopped late second, early third, and maybe it was getting held too much against him. That's kind of where I line. We'll see. I think he has a chance to play in the league, but there was no way he was ever a first-round pick.
Well, just a little side note to get away from Shedeur Sanders for a moment. I thought a sneaky, just fun little moment was that Kyle McCord, former Buckeye quarterback, transferred to Syracuse, was taken ahead of Will Howard.
Will Howard's going to make the league pay.
Right.
Everybody's going to remember that quote came out a couple weeks ago.
But the patsy for losing to Michigan a couple of years ago was Kyle McCord. And so he transfers, goes to Syracuse, has a pretty good year. And I don't think he's a starting quarterback in this league, and I don't think Will Howard is either. I just like the fact for Kyle McCord that he was taken ahead of Will Howard.
Can I just say this one thing in defense of Shedeur, too? This is where I get a little weird about things. And while I don't think race is fully in play here, like I see guys like, I remember the draft that Christian Ponder went 12th overall, and he was the fourth quarterback taken. So there was a run, and I know runs affect – but I remember going into that, I go, who in the world thinks Christian Ponder is going to be a good NFL quarterback? And I saw Shedeur Sanders play way better college football, in my mind, than Christian Ponder ever did.
But do we think race is why Milroe went ahead of Sanders?
No.
You're right about Cam Ward. Cam Ward was a zero star.
The zero star ended up working his tail off. Good head on his shoulders. Goes number one overall. See, I actually think it's an issue if we're going to assign the negative traits that Shadur has to his race. That's what I find problematic. You can be obnoxious all creeds and colors. You can be entitled no matter what race you are. I think it's problematic to assign his negative traits to his race. He fell because of skill set and attitude, period.
I agree with that, but I think the fall got a little out of control.
Maybe.
May have fed itself.
Yeah, I do think there's an element of that. Let's get some phone calls. Let's get the Lions in the mix. It's 97.1.
Hey, a personal injury of any sort is, in fact, personal. Injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need to put your life back together after an accident. You need an attorney who's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Femininio. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Femininio at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
All right, we got open lines. We brought up the Shadur Sanders stuff. Everybody was fixated on his fall. Why did he fall? If you have theories, you can let us know. We got to get into the Lions this hour. Brad Holmes, latest edition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, with Brad, I think it really reinforces this idea. Mock drafts should not be used to grade the draft.
No.
He's not basing it off of Yahoo or ESPN or CBS Sports mock drafts. So what we perceive to be a reach does not mean it's a reach. Just like with Shadur Sanders, we perceived him to be a first-round pick because if you read enough mocks, he's supposed to be. But then if you take a step back and go, wait, what was his elite trait? And was he some workaholic, going to overcome it with his attitude? Teams found that to be false as well. So that's, to me, why he fell more than anything else.
There's a lot of reasons why he fell. But in talking about the Detroit Lions, obviously, your top three picks, Tyreek Williams, Tate Ratledge, and Isaac Tesla. All guys that I expect to contribute. Now, as you go further down the list, Tesla, I don't expect him to be a major contributor. I do expect him to be active for some of the games, maybe a little bit later in the season, and some of it will be due to injury. Tate Ratledge, this guy could be a starter day one. Tyreek Williams, especially because of the injury situation to Aleem McNeil, I expect to be a starter day one and contribute right away. It's not a sexy draft for the Detroit Lions. That's how I would grade it. It's not sexy, but they got guys that should come in and contribute immediately.
We'll throw that out to people. We want phone calls from Lions fans today reacting to the draft. If you don't want to hand out a grade, I know John's against handing out draft grades. I look at it as just an easy way to sum up whether you thought they did a good job or not. No one's declaring whether these guys are going to be all pros yet. But you can make it as simple as you just want to offer up things you like and things you didn't like. Getting beef in the trenches, I think people like that. Mm-hmm. The trade ups, I've seen people have mixed response to giving up a fourth to move three slots in the second or giving up multiple spots, multiple thirds to move up in the third round. People might feel like those were overpays. I would just stress, this team doesn't have 15 available roster spots. They have a couple.
Yeah.
And if you see guys,
go get them.
And the tier is about to drop off, and you think Ratledge specifically is going to start or could start, don't let that chance that he's going to fall a couple spots. Go get the guy. If you told me I'm getting my starting right guard, I'd give up a fourth round pick. That's what they did.
Yeah, and then you put this with the line that they already have, along with Manu, along with, you know, all the other guys that they have backing everybody up, you know, and Skip is still in the rotation there. I like the fact that they watered the garden up front. Brad Holmes talked about that. And there was a description I think that you had or Tom had about this was your fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, Yahoo said this was an eat your vegetables draft for the Lions. They gave him a B minus, but likened it to eating your vegetables.
Yeah. Again, so the B minus, I see that as, okay, it's not sexy, but it could be very productive. and the production isn't going to, for Tyreek Williams, it's not going to be in a whole bunch of sacks. It could be some pressures. It could be run stopping. But all the numbers that you're going to have to dig into to find out what how productive he's actually been. And same thing for Ratledge, right? How many pancakes did he have per game? How many? What's his pressure rate? You know, all of, how does he, you know, recover from, you know, a bad set? All of those different things. It's really hard to quantify, but they all result in better chances to win.
I mean, what did your mom and dad tell you? Eat your vegetables. You grow up big and strong. Lions get their vegetables.
I can tell you that's not always true.
You didn't eat a lot of vegetables.
Not a lot of vegetables.
No.
No. No.
Coming up at 9:35, John Jansen's top five vegetables.
Yeah, eat your meat and potatoes. That'll grow. You're big and strong.
How did you see the draft? 248-539-9797. We're also going to get into the fact that they didn't address edge until nearly 200 picks in. I know people will have thoughts on that, as do we. Mm-hmm. But first, Heather with the news.
So kickoff for the annual Detroit Lions Thanksgiving Day game is changing. Not a whole lot, but just slightly.
What?
So instead of being the traditional 12:30 start time, the game will now kick off at 1. So they're moving it back by a half hour.
I don't like that.
Really? You don't? So they say the idea is to make the Thanksgiving Day schedule look like a typical Sunday slate. So they'll have the first game at 1, the second
it's
one.
It's not a typical Sunday.
I'm just...
It's,
don't
it's
don't yell at me!
I'm not yelling at you. It's a Thanksgiving Day. It's tradition. A Thursday. It's a 12:30 start tradition.
John doesn't like it. Call the league. It's off.
Yep. Call the league.
It's only a half hour.
Yeah, it's not
it
a big
matters.
Deal.
It matters. Especially if you're trying to eat in between games. Now it scrunches that eating window by a half an hour.
Yeah.
Those are important minutes.
I guess so.
Yes. Says the person who doesn't want their holidays interrupted by anything that's outside the family.
Thanksgiving is my least favorite holiday, so it is what it is.
Again, that blows my mind.
We're different people,
Colin can
John.
Do whatever he wants on Thanksgiving.
He loves Thanksgiving, and he will do whatever he wants on Thanksgiving. So the Lions drafted Ahmed Hassanein in the 6th round, mm-hmm. and he has a really incredible story.
Cool, yes.
It's really cool. So he moved to the U.S. from Egypt as a teen, didn't play football until he was 15 years old, mm-hmm. which is incredible. And on top of all that, he had to learn English, learn a whole new culture, right? And now he is just fired up to be a Lion. And he says he'll do anything for Dan Campbell, including die for him.
Yeah. Hey, that's all
I'll
in.
Die for that guy,
that's
he
all
says.
In.
He is all in.
Just wants his shot at the dream, the
pretty
NFL
cool.
dream.
It's pretty cool. During the NFL draft on Friday, Quinshon Judkins almost missed his big call, right? So as the Cleveland Browns prepared to announce their selection at number 36, their future running back was unexpectedly not in the room. Wasn't there to take the phone call. His family was, though.
Yeah,
his mom
did, yes.
answered the phone for
some
him.
Epic videos.
Yes. And he came running back in. He later admitted that he just got up to go get a quick drink of lemonade. And
it was originally reported that he was in the little boy's room.
But he wasn't. So he says.
Well, so it's the they're controlling that one. I don't know.
Look, nature calls. He was trying to take the Browns to the Super Bowl.
And there you go.
Stupid. A Florida man.
She just called you stupid. I didn't even have to chime in.
Okay, that joke is borderline funny. I got the feedback I needed.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's just dumb. A Florida man risked his life in order to save a bald eagle. So earlier this month, Doug Hay said he heard a splash in the lake behind his house. So he and his wife went out to investigate, and there was a bald eagle in the center of a lake, in the center of the lake, and there was another one like circling above it.
Oh.
So he thought they must have been fighting. One dropped down. So he said, without hesitation, he just jumped into this lake, started swimming towards it, even though he knew there was an alligator that lived in the lake, and he reached the eagle. The eagle grabbed on, its tail ends grabbed onto his arm, and they swam to safety. But he says they barely made it because he was so tired. It's American
it's
hero.
A great American right
great
there.
Great American hero. So thankfully, it does sound like the eagle was injured. He was hoping it would just kind of like recover on the shore and fly away, but he did call a wildlife rescue, which came in and took the eagle and is nursing it back to health. So... look at that.
Yeah, it's a good thing they'd have to put it down. Go through all of that just to say, can't be fixed.
Listen to this story, you guys. There's a woman in Virginia that says she is traumatized after she found a baby snake in her margarita at a Mexican restaurant. Apparently.
Not a worm, a snake.
No, it's a snake. There's photo evidence. The restaurant says it must have came in through the air conditioner, fell from the ceiling, bounced off her forehead, and landed in her drink.
Wow.
She snapped a photo of it wrapped around her straw. It's just disgusting. An employee was going to try to use a stick to remove it, but somebody just grabbed it with their hands and took it out.
I would think that trumps the 5 second rule. Like it had to, as soon as it's in there, I'm done.
The woman says she will never go back. She thinks the place might have a snake infestation. They comped her meal, but they say they're not going to do anything about it because they say it was just a one-time thing, which is a fluke.
Snake drops in my drink. I don't. You can comp my meal. Whatever. I'm not eating. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Out of there.
Yeah,
I don't care if they comp anything. They're not getting my money.
No,
because I'd be
I can only
out
imagine
there.
If that happened to Lisa.
Does she not like snakes?
We would not be I could guarantee you she does not like snakes. We would be out of there so fast.
There would be a huge scene.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be a dine and dash situation. Like, they'd have to comp it because I would be told I'm gone.
I'd be out of there. Yep.
Heather with the news. All right. Coming up next. Want to know what you guys think of Brad Holmes and the draft? To it coming up next, whether it's draft grades, what you like, what you didn't like, and that question about pass rush. It's 97.1.
Well, guys, if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's Verizon's best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they've got your back now and in the future. So go ahead and take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
How would you describe the Lions draft? You can hand out a grade if that's easy, if you think that's overly simplistic / ridiculous to do this early. You just tell us what you liked and what you didn't like. Numbers 248-539-9797. John, what'd you think?
I liked the draft. I thought it was a quality draft. Like I said, it's not a sexy draft. It's one that went out there and addressed some needs, obviously on bigs up front on both sides of the ball. Defensive tackle for the Lions, Tyreek Williams, Ohio State, productive, a great run stopper. He's going to swallow up a couple of double, or at least a double team, to allow the linebackers to roam around, make plays, take a little pressure off DJ Reader at the beginning of the season. And then you pair him by the time Aleem McNeil comes back. Those three having a rotation, throw in a Levi Onwuzurike every once in a while. I like the defensive tackle position for the Lions. And then you think about Tate Ratledge. We both said, and I know you were more edge, had to be one of those two picks, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but there was as much of a need for a defensive tackle as there was edge.
Yes.
There was certainly a need to get younger on the offensive line, especially in the interior of that offensive line. Now you've got Christian Mahogany, who I think we all believe we like what we saw at the end of the year. Small sample size, but if he's able to jump Awosika, who has been there for a couple of years, who played the NFC Championship game, all of a sudden they trust Mahogany over him. Now you bring in Tate Ratledge, who has maybe the greatest haircut that was in this draft.
Well, that's what someone points out. How can you say this wasn't a sexy draft? Do you see the hair, the mustache?
Well, I'll defer to Heather.
Oh,
is this a sexy
so
pick?
Sexy. I mean, I just Googled quickly because I didn't see it, but now I do remember seeing it. Yeah, that mustache. I asked Colin, how old is this guy?
Yeah.
Because he looks like he's came from another era. Like he looks much older with the mustache and the mullet.
Late 70s, early 80s, that era.
Yeah.
A little bit of the Joe Dirt going on there.
Yeah.
It's in his DNA.
But I am not an offensive line connoisseur the way you are, John. I immediately go to look at his scouting profile and it says dirt dog mentality and a mauler. And I go, boy, that sounds like Detroit Lions football. He played in the SEC against elite competition. His testing numbers were great. Love that.
You got another pick?
Just going through images of him. Yeah, I'm like, oh boy. Yeah, what a look.
He's a big ugly. That's what they like.
Uh-huh.
Another one.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's a premiere.
Does he have a perm?
I doubt it.
I don't. I mean, maybe.
This one looks very permish.
Yeah, the.
It's coming back.
It's not necessarily the business. It's not coming back.
It's not an offensive line haircut.
I don't know them personally, but I know guys, young guys that are getting perms. Just saying.
I don't think that's a trend that anybody needs to have come back.
I'm talking
back.
Young guys, like teenagers.
Obviously, yes, not my class, but. Could you see Jim Costa come in here one day?
Permed up.
He's a young guy.
He needs to grow his hair out first, and then he could do it.
Okay.
That would be amazing.
Could you imagine?
I would lose it. I don't think I would be able to do a show if you walked in like that.
And just don't acknowledge it. I just try to play it off like nothing happened.
Yeah, like nothing happened yesterday.
What do you mean? Just trying something
new.
What'd
you do last night? I don't know. Went for a haircut.
Went for a haircut. Right. Okay, so 2 for 2. We like these picks. The third one is, I think, where you're going to start to lose some people, right?
Well, so they bring in Matthew Golden for one of the top 30 visits. I think we all knew that they were looking at wide receivers. You mentioned it. They were going to take a wide receiver in this draft. They ended up taking two. Mm-hmm. The third round, again, it's you're drafting in the third round, and you are trying to get somebody that's going to contribute. And I think if they saw Isaac Tesla as a guy that could be a contributor this year. And I'm not saying on the level of Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jameson Williams, but if they brought him in on the level of Tim Patrick, I could see that.
My first question when they made the pick was, got a good bull rush? Is there a swim move in his bag in the scouting report?
You're such a troll.
I actually don't mind the pick. It's odd to give up essentially 3 third-round picks to go and get him. But if they love the player, I've told you, I respect trading up and getting your guys. He could be a big slot. I know people have compared him to Puka Nacua. Look, Holmes found Kupp and St. Brown. I certainly trust his evaluation of the position. I do wonder, though, why all their trade-ups are not for the edge position. And he kind of explained it. Like, it's not a priority for us the way it is for you guys. This was Brad Holmes at the end of day two. So, y'all being like a lot of fans, media, the beat writers who he was speaking to, they ask a lot of those questions. We've asked a lot of those questions. Are we all wrong?
No, but he also said, he started that off with, player acquisition doesn't end with the draft. And we know Za'Darius Smith is still out there.
I expect he'll come back at this point.
I expect he will as well, but there's 31 other teams that could be looking to make him an offer. Do they offer something that the Lions just say, you know what, hey, go. We're not going to pay you that much?
The Eagles won the Super Bowl beefing up the defensive line. It helped them dethrone Patrick Mahomes. We've seen the Giants beef up a defensive line to dethrone Tom Brady. It's how you beat the elite quarterbacks. It's how you get over the hump. It's probably the biggest thing holding the Lions back from winning a Super Bowl as we sit today, the fact that Marcus Davenport is a starting pass rusher. And they may believe with Aiden back.
I don't think he's penciled it as the starter.
Third downs, who's the edge opposite Aiden?
Well, it's probably going to be Josh Pascal more than it will be Marcus Davenport. So, again, I'm not sitting there pronouncing that as, okay. Oh, we've got it solved.
So let's not get caught in the weeds on it. The point is that edge opposite Aiden is a question. Now, they think because Aiden is Aiden, they need one less. It's not as high a priority to them as it is to the general public. Are we wrong? And they're right. I mean, we'll see how the season plays out. I don't believe you can ever have enough pass rushers. And I know you don't want to force it on draft day. But if you're willing to trade up to ensure you get a guard, trade up to ensure you get a player you like, why is the player they like never that guy?
Maybe that guy's just not available. I mean, if you're going to trade up and you're going to spend draft capital to go up and get a guy, then it better be a guy that you believe is going to contribute. And if they didn't think that there was an edge in the third round to go up and get, or in the second round, that it was more important for them to solidify that offensive line, then you know that evaluation is just not there.
The end they did take. I don't want to oversell it because it's a day three pick. Sneaky like that pick.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful banking on a day three rookie when you're trying to win a Super Bowl. But everything about him screams Detroit Lions. High motor guy, outperforms the testing numbers. He's a classic turn on the tape guy. 22 sacks the last two seasons. I just wondered, you know, waiting almost 200 picks to make that trade. And Brad even had some fun with the reporters about that. The fact that it finally happened. They took a pass rusher. Is it going to be enough for us? Clearly, he's having some fun with this.
Yeah, it's he's going to have some fun with it, right? It's that time of year where everybody's going to start asking about weaknesses, perceived weaknesses. And
I don't think it's a perceived weakness. It is a weakness of this football team. No?
Well, it's a deficiency, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a big difference between a deficiency and a weakness, because there are guys that can go out there and they can set the edge. They could be guys that are run stoppers. Are they going to be, is Pascal or Davenport or Muhammad or any of these guys going to effectively rust the passer? Not like Za'Darius Smith would, and certainly not like Aiden Hutchinson will.
I think it's the biggest question following the draft. Otherwise, I think the draft is another Brad Holmes success story. I look at a lot of what they've done is built on the trenches, taking two guards, quality offensive linemen, one in the second round. That's promising. Getting some beef up front while Lee McNeil's hurt. Like, to me, it's you're like in a train and you're shoveling more coal into that furnace. Big uglies, right? Coal is, it's yeah. Hard work. You got to get this coal and you got to shovel it in there, but it's what keeps propelling you forward, keeping the offensive line intact for years to come, making sure that you win at the point of attack on the defensive line. The best way to get to the quarterback? Well, you got to get pressure from all across the front. It can't just be Aiden. They needed guys on the interior too. So the draft as a whole, I'm pleased with, you're pleased with. I think the only question was the thing that, John, you had talked about too. You wanted an edge as well. It's a pretty commonly held belief that we wanted them to address.
We would like them to upgrade.
Yes. And ideally, it would have been a young player in the draft with a bright future for years to come. There are other ways to do it. Let's get some phone calls in the mix. 248-539-9797. We'll do that next. It's 97.1.
Hey, did you wake up this morning, you put your clothes on, you thought, boy, these just don't fit like I really want them to, and maybe avoid being in pictures? You got to give Ideal You a call right now, and maybe within about 40 days, you could be comfortable being in those clothes, being in those pictures again, because you could lose 40 pounds in 40 days with Ideal You. I know this program really works because I lost 50 pounds in 40 days, and I did it with Ideal You. Book today, and Ideal You is going to give you a free body composition analysis. That's $150 value, absolutely free. And you're going to find out all you need to know, and with those results, you're going to be assigned a weight loss coach, and they're going to put together a plan that works for you. Book your free consultation right now at idealu.us. Set yourself up for success. Ideal You is different than other weight loss companies. It works, and it works fast. Lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days and be happy getting in those clothes, getting in those pictures yet again. Book your free consultation right now at idealu.us to get your body composition analysis. That's $150 value, absolutely free.
All right, we got some ticket text. We got the open lines, wrapping the show with the Lions draft. We talked a lot about the Pistons. If you missed it, Odyssey Rewind. Talked about Shadur Sanders. Good conversation there. John is so disappointed we couldn't make more time for the Tigers. We got all week.
Yes.
We got all summer. This team's very good.
Tigers are not going anywhere except up.
First place in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
A sweep of Baltimore over the weekend.
Tied with the Yankees for the best differential, run differential, in all of Major League Baseball.
And already played New York and took two or three against them. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, John, you're 90 wins?
Maybe I sold them short. No.
Think about this.
I'm still going with 90, because there's going to be a time where we're like, okay, are they ever going to get another win? Yes, they're going to be just fine. And this is, it's so much fun to watch.
Yeah. I'm hopping on the bus if there's a spot. I'm with you. It's pretty clear this
it's
is a
pretty
90
full.
Win.
Yeah, well. I mean, there's a lot of people that jumped on.
I'll be a little wagon being towed from behind the bus.
Yeah, from behind, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. It's worth pointing out the Tigers have only won 90-plus games four times since 1987.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite the feat. Only twice have they won more than 95 in that span. So if you want to get carried away.
It's a great start, and it's fun because they got one of the top two pitching staffs in all of Major League Baseball. They are playing really good behind them. Those pitchers with good defense. Jace Young has been so much fun to watch at third base. They got his first hit over the weekend, which is great. I think
drove
in a run.
Yep.
But Sweeney at shortstop made a diving play yesterday that probably saved a run. Javier Baez in center field has been a lot of fun. I mean, I'm not going to get off on this because we'll finish with the draft, but
he's hitting over 300 now.
Yeah. Maybe we'll throw this out there for people to think about over the course of the week. We'll get to it at some point. Is he somehow revitalizing or endearing himself to Tigers fans?
It was a
rough start.
So much damage has been done.
But now he's happy playing the game of baseball, and he's willing to play short, willing to play third, willing to play center. Just put me in the game, coach.
Well, Fogarty. Yeah, there's a lot of storylines that have surprised us. The pitching, not surprised. I mean, we expected that. But it's Torque, it's Javi, Javier. It's all of it. It's an incredible story, and we're off to a hot start this summer. Some ticket text on the draft. Texter says, the whole Brad made the pick, therefore it must be good. Hashtag let Brad cook thing is a cult mentality. Form your own opinion, people of Detroit.
Yeah, sure. Form your own opinion, but also go with some context. People said after the Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell in the first round. Like, I remember grades on that one. That's why I don't give grades. They were like D's. I think everybody right now is looking at it going, that's kind of an A-plus draft.
Nationally, I've seen a lot of B minus. I think Mel Kiper, of all people, gave him a C+.
That's because we didn't draft Shadur.
Well, but that's the issue is, you're right, John, if they had taken Shadur. By the way, the only A+ that Mel gave out, can you guess which team he gave it to?
Oh, it's probably the Browns.
It was the Cleveland Browns. Of course it was. There's an issue, though, when you rely on the mocks to make the grades because teams aren't using those mocks to draft. They're not worth the paper they're printed on. For a great example would be Tyleik Williams was considered a reach by many people over the weekend. Tyleik Williams came out and said, oh, Buffalo really liked me. There's a belief Buffalo would have taken him two picks later. So, yeah, the Lions reached all of two picks to get a day one interior menace. Stuff the run, upside to hit the
passer.
Push
the pocket,
yeah, I mean, they reached all of two picks. So you got to be very careful with the reaching, calling stuff a reach. They got some day one guys at the top of the draft, which is harder and harder to do for a team that's as loaded as the Lions are. Mm-hmm. To get some day one guys early was important. Now, the third is when Brad does Brad things. He drafted Manu a year ago. He's taken a backup quarterback in Hendon Hooker. Broderick Martin's project didn't work out. Yep. He takes some swings in the third. I think people may have been a little uncomfortable giving up multiple thirds to draft a guy who, production-wise, didn't show it in college. This is the one where you probably do defer to Brad just because of the track record at that position, specifically receiver. The only gripe I have is edge, but they could add Za'Darius Smith, and I think that would soften some of the blow there.
Sure, and there's plenty of time to do it, and he even mentioned it. We played the audio. Just because the draft is over doesn't mean player acquisition stops.
Lions draft, this was a bust replacement draft. Martin out, Tyleik Williams in. Sorsdahl out, Ratledge in, Peter in Ann Arbor.
Well, Miles Frazier is the Sorsdahl out. Frazier in. I don't see Ratledge as being the... I think he was just an upgrade.
He's replacing...
Call it Ebusika.
No, I would say there's an expectation that he's replacing Zeitler. Ratledge.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Exclusive right guard.
Roster sits now.
Yeah. I was surprised they didn't take one of the centers in round 7. Guy from Ohio State or Bama seemed like a legit center late. Well, they did say the guards they took, well, they will cross-train them at center. Position flexibility is a must.